we come to you, the one to whom all hearts are open, the Almighty God to whom all desires are known, and the God from whom there are no secrets hid. Lord, we come to you tonight asking that you cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by breathing in within us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee, O Lord, and that we may worthily magnify thy holy name. It is through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we ask these things. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Pastor Jeff's coming to lead us in a hymn.
Sing this with me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you.
Continue our worship with a responsive reading. If you want to slip your hymnals out of the rack there and turn to number 248, I will start and then you will read after me as a congregation, and I'll read the regular print and then you will read the bold print. This is taken from Isaiah chapter 53, and it also draws our hearts in to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And like a root out of dry ground, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Surely he took up our infirmities
and carried our sorrows.
Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. We all, like sheep, have gone astray.
Each of us has turned to his own way.
And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He bore the sin of many and intercession.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Dearest
and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I so despised by the world, has a wonder attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Oh, so cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a in the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and save. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it some. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. To take a moment to pause in our celebration of communion and ask the ushers to come. Tonight is the night, the Sunday night of the month that we take up our offering for Carolina Christian Academy. A few gentlemen will come and go ahead with the offering. Following the offering, Pastor Mike Mader is coming to speak to us, and then we will continue. One of the things I'm excited about is to be able to celebrate communion several times this year. And we'll tell you more about that as the months go by. But gentlemen, go ahead with the offering. Thank you. Well, good evening. Glad to see all of you tonight. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 for our scripture reading tonight. And we're going to look at verse 14. This passage we're actually reading the account of the Last Supper, and it's some of Jesus' final words to his disciples before he goes to the cross. It's coming to the end here, and he has an object lesson for them. And Luke chapter 22, verse 14 is where we will start tonight. And it says this: when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And we'll stop there tonight. I want to give you, if you're taking notes tonight, there's 5 points. And if you like alliteration, you'll like this tonight because they all start with the letter C. But 5 things I want us to think on tonight as we partake of the Lord's Supper together. And the first thing is this: the first word would be celebration. Tonight, this is not a funeral for Jesus. I've been in some communion services where it felt more like a funeral, and there is something that is solemn about this occasion. This isn't actually. I was talking to the musicians, and they're going to be playing some music softly as we partake. And I was like, you know, maybe just play something appropriate. Maybe not something that's real bouncy, whatever, you know, but something that's a little more soft and meditative. But this is not a funeral, my friends. This is more of a festive sacrament that we partake of together, because we always see the cross in light of the empty tomb. There's only one reason we can call Good Friday good, and that's because Easter Sunday took place and the Lord rose again. Without the resurrection, Christ's death would have been in vain. And so as we partake tonight, there is a celebration aspect to this, where we realize that Jesus is the risen Savior. He shed his blood for our sin. He's our Savior, but he is the living King of Kings and Lord of Lords tonight. Now, if you have been in any of the, if you've run in any high church circles, perhaps you've heard communion called the Eucharist. Has anybody ever heard the term Eucharist? Boy, look at, yes, a well-educated crowd. And the first time I heard the term Eucharist, I think, was in college, and one of my professors threw that word out. I'm like, what is that? A Eucharist? You know, I thought that was a game you played. You don't know what that is. That's good if you don't know what Eucharist. But the Eucharist, so it actually, in studying a little bit, it comes from a Latin word that just simply means thanksgiving. And one of the things I notice in here, both when Jesus takes the bread and when he takes the cup, you can see it in verse 17, he took the cup and he gave thanks. Verse 19, he took the bread and he gave thanks. And Eucharist means thanksgiving. That's another name for the Lord's Supper. You can call it the Eucharist, or one of my professors used to say, the Holy Eucharist, you know. But this is a time of thanksgiving. It's a time of celebration where we look on Jesus and we behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. The second word would be this: commemoration. Jesus said in verse 19, "This do in remembrance of me." When we commemorate something, what are we doing? We're honoring the memory of some past event or a person that holds significance. One of the holidays on our calendar is Memorial Day, right? And if you go to any cemetery around, you will see flowers and wreaths and all sorts of some even do special ceremonies to commemorate, to honor the memory of that loved one. And sometimes it's past events. You know, this past December, I remember seeing it in the news about how many years it had been since the attack on Pearl Harbor. And there's ceremonies that take. We understand what commemoration is all about. And what are we doing as we participate in the Lord's Supper? We're commemorating the death and resurrection of our Savior. We're remembering him. This is how Jesus told us to remember him. This do in remembrance of me. And the words imply frequency. The implication isn't just do it one time and, you know, it's like, husbands, if perhaps you at the marriage altar, you said to your wife, "I love you, I take you forever." And I've heard some guys say, "You know, I don't ever have to tell my wife I love her again because if it ever changes, I'll let her know." I don't ascribe to that reasoning. You know, how many of you ladies would agree that's not a good way to do things? You know, I don't ever have to say I love you again, Michelle. I told you when we got married, and bless God, I said it, I mean it, I'll never say it again. That's a little ludicrous to me, you know. We husbands, we ought to express our love to our wives. Amen, ladies? I'm trying to get the girls on my side a little bit here. But, you know, and in the same way, when we remember Christ, this is how he said to remember him. And it shouldn't just be something we do once in a while, right, or just one time. And so how often do we do it? Well, it's however often we want to remember him in the way that he told us to. And we commemorate, we remember what he did. I've heard it said that we are at Calvary at the communion table. We remember. The third thing would be this, covenant. This comes from verse 19 and 20. We'll just read it again. It says, "He took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you.'" Wow. Verse 20, "He took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" There's a covenant that's here. Two things under this. There's a sign. And so the bread and the wine are symbolic. Now, in case you're wondering, tonight are the symbols that we're using. We have grape juice. And the bread is actually crackers tonight. I hope everyone's okay with that. But they're symbols. They're signs. Okay, and Jesus said, "This bread that is broken, it's a symbol. It's a sign. My body was broken for you." And the grape juice, it's a sign that his blood was shed for you. Isaiah 53. We read a portion of that tonight together. But in verse 5, it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." His body was broken for you, for your sins, for my sins. His blood was shed for you, for your sins, and for my sins. There's a covenant that is here. And so there's a sign, and the symbols are the elements which we will take together. And there's a seal as well. There's a renewing of our vows to him. I never approach the Lord's Supper with a cavalier attitude. I'm always, there's something inside that gets very serious. I don't come to the table with unconfessed sin. And there's been times where I've come to church, and maybe this was you tonight, where you came and you didn't know there was going to be communion. And I've been in that, you walk in, you see the stuff up here, and you're like, "Oh no, you know, it's, I don't know if, am I wasn't expecting that, you know." And there were times where there were some things in my life that weren't right. I didn't have peace. And guess what I did in those services? It was a reminder, hey, you better get things right with God. And if there's unconfessed sin, you better get it under the blood and confess your sin to Jesus and make things right and repent, right? And so there's a renewing of our vows. I hope all of you are here tonight and you've got total victory in your soul and you're on fire for God. And this is just a night where it's just a renewal that says, Jesus, I'm still all in and I love you and I want to tell you again and I want to remember you in the way that you told us to. But we renew those vows and I believe God renews his covenant with us as we renew their covenant with him. And so there's a covenant that exists. The fourth word would be this, communion. Often we call the Lord's Supper communion. We're talking about fellowship. We're talking about relationship. Let me just turn over to John chapter 6 and verse 53. And there's a verse here that can be a little bit troubling. In fact, it troubled the people that Jesus told this to because they didn't understand what he meant. But listen to John 6 and verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now, just on the surface, that verse seems a little scary, and it scared the people that he said that to. But think of it in these terms. What is our most basic of physical needs that we have? Food and drink. You just try going a few days without any food or drink and see how you're feeling. Your body starts to scream. In fact, if I just go a period of hours without food or drink, my body starts to rebel and say, "Feed me." You know, it's the most basic of physical appetites. Well, guess what? The most basic spiritual appetite is for God himself. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He's the bread of life. The most basic need that we have in a spiritual sense is for Jesus himself and to fellowship with him. And Christianity, we're followers of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. You're a follower of Christ. And there is a relationship with Jesus himself, with the King. There's communion that exists there. And so tonight, there's a very real sense in which Christ is really here to share himself with us. It's a beautiful thing. Now, we do not believe that as you take the cracker tonight, as it is, that it will actually turn to the body of Jesus. We don't believe as we drink the grape juice that it will actually turn to the literal blood of Jesus. There are some that believe that. I think the term, the 10-cylinder word is transubstantiation or something like that. We do not believe that. These are symbols, they're signs, but there is a very real sense that Christ is here with us and there is communion. That's where that word, that's why we call this communion. There's fellowship with Christ as we remember that his body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. The last thing is consummation. So we have celebration, commemoration, covenant, communion, and the number five would be consummation. Just peek back down to verse 16 and also in verse 18, he says, "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." There's something Jesus is looking to down the road. And then verse 18, the same thing. "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but this was on Jesus' mind at the Last Supper, that he would be returning again. He knew what was before him. He knew that the cross was near. He knew Judas was going to betray him and all that was going to transpire. And soon he would be in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and the soldiers would come and they would take him away, and there'd be a mock trial, and he would be tortured and he would be crucified. He knows all this is coming. But what does it tell us in another spot in the Bible where it says he despised the shame he took on the cross because he was looking ahead to something far greater. And he was looking at all the lives of the people that would accept his sacrifice on their behalf, who would receive salvation. And he was looking at the day when the kingdom would come, when he would come again for his bride. And so the consummation part of this, as we take communion tonight, we are declaring our faith in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Does anybody believe that he's coming again? I don't want to forget that as I get so tied into life's events and the trials and tribulation that we face here and all the busyness of life. I don't want to forget the reality of eternity and that the bridegroom is coming again. He's coming for his church, which is the bride, and all those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're going to see Jesus face to face someday. And as we partake of communion tonight, we're declaring our faith in the fact that Jesus is coming again. There's anticipation of that final glory where, guess what we'll do when we get to heaven? One of the first things we do together, we participate in the marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe that's where Jesus will once again taste from the vine. He says, this is the last time, last supper. This is the last I'll taste of the vine until the kingdom comes. I believe that'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the fulfillment of all things. I long for that day, don't you? I had the privilege of visiting Elise Crook this morning in the hospital. She wasn't very comfortable. She's been having a lot of issues with her hip. It's come out of socket now for like 3 times in the last 4 days. And as we just talked together, we read some scripture. And I said, Sister Crook, are you keeping your faith in Jesus? And she said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. You trust in Jesus as your Savior? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I just had this thought, because I know she's experienced a great deal of pain the last 4 days. And I don't know what the future holds. The options that they have for her aren't great. It may be that she's not going to be able to walk much longer. I don't know what will happen. None of us do. That's not a prediction, but it's a possibility. But my mind just went ahead to the time where once again she'll be leaping and jumping and shouting for joy in heaven, where we'll be gathered around the throne of God himself. And I just kind of mentioned to her, I said, you know, someday we'll be gathered around the throne together and we'll be worshiping our Savior. She said, oh yes, oh yes. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Jesus is coming again, my friends. And tonight, as we partake of communion together, we declare our faith in that truth, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And so tonight, we're going to do as our Lord commands. At his table, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption, proclaiming to all the world the triumph of our faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ is coming again. And until that day, he is with us always through the power of his Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, tonight we come before you, and we would just ask, would you bless and sanctify these gifts of bread and juice by your Holy Spirit? And Father, would you grant that as we receive these elements in faith, that we would be reminded that you gave your body to be broken, and it is the blood of your dear Son, our Lord, which cleanses us from all sin. So tonight we offer ourselves to you, O Lord. We offer ourselves to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice, humbly beseeching you to sanctify us also, that we may serve you faithfully in holiness and peace until Christ shall come in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in unity with you, O Holy Father, and with the Holy Spirit, through all ages. Amen. Amen. In just a moment, Pastor Heath is going to come, and he's going to invite all who would like to partake in the Lord's Supper tonight just to come forward. The way we're going to do this tonight, Pastor Heath and I are going to stand on either side here, and we're going to juggle the bread and the juice together. So we'll actually have two lines. I think Pastor Heath will be on the right, I'll be on the left. And so Pastor Heath will serve everybody on that side, and I'll serve everyone on that side. However it works, we're not worried if you swap lines, whatever. But you'll come, you'll take both elements, come down the center aisle, and Pastor Jeff will be in the aisle to dismiss pew by pew. We're going to start at the front. Come and receive the elements. Exit through the side, and come back into your pew. And if you would, just hold on to the elements until everybody has received, and then we will partake all at the same time. I want to just mention as well, if for any reason you're uncomfortable taking communion tonight, I want you to know that you're not going to be looked down upon. We're glad you're here. We count you as our friend. And if you're uncomfortable for any reason, it's okay. All right? You're our friend. And you don't have to be a member of this church to partake. The Lord's Supper is for any who will come in repentance for their sins. And here you may cry out your confession to God, who will hear and forgive you. The Lord's Supper is for all who will come remembering Christ's death and celebrating the peace that they have found through faith in him. Our musicians are going to play softly. And what I'd like to do is just take about a minute. I'm going to give you just a moment to pray and prepare your heart to receive the sacrament together. And so I just invite you, congregation, would you stand? The music's going to play softly. And just take a moment and connect with the Lord in prayer. If there's any business you need to do with God, now's a good time to just get things right with him. Recommit to him. Or maybe it's committing to him for the first time. Just take a moment, just pray together. Amen. In just a moment, I'll invite you to come forward. Pastor Jeff is going to be in the center aisle, kind of inviting you pew by pew. If you are not able to walk to the front and you would still like to partake, would you just let Pastor Jeff know as he's dismissing the different rows? And then we will come back to you and serve the sacraments to you. We'd be happy to do it. It'd be an honor to do that. Dear friends, Jesus invites us to come to him and to fellowship with him at his table. Come earnestly and sincerely. Come humbly and honestly. Come expecting him to meet us here. By faith, we are asking him to meet with us in this very moment. Come and personally express your love to Jesus and your gratefulness to him for his death on the cross. bread represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for you. Preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. For he is the bread of life. Feed on him and you will never grow hungry. Let's take together. The juice you're holding in your hand represents the blood of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was shed for you. May it preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. When you drink, drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for the remission of sins, and be thankful. For as he has opened up a fountain in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. Drink with a grateful heart tonight. Would you stand with me, and I would like us to recite together the Lord's Prayer. I'm sure you know it by heart. Let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jeff's coming to lead us in a hymn. Remain standing.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. The Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Let's sing that one more time. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave. Thank you for this love, Lord. Amen. Pierced has washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated. Victorious, high the treasure of heaven.
Crucified,
worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. He is so worthy tonight.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all glory and blessing and honor forever. Praise His name. If you would, just maybe take your cups and pass them to the, at least stack them in the center or something. We'll come by and we'll collect those after a while. But if you could help us with that, we'd appreciate that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." God bless you tonight. Go with God. You are dismissed.